Hello, and welcome to Tori Macha Nachyomi with OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rena Foreman, and today we'll be studying Perek Chet in Kohelet. Perek Zion, Chapter 7, ended with Shlomo discovering a path forward, the possibility of building a Shem Tov, a good name, through balanced relationships and realistic self-perception. But as we enter Perek Chet, Chapter 8, a new tension emerges. What happens when wisdom encounters power? What are the limits of even the wisest person's influence? Notice how Perek Chet opens not with despair, but with a celebration of wisdom's power. Mi chacham, umi yodea pesher davar. Who is like the wise person? Who knows the meaning of things? Chachma adam ta'ir panav. A person's wisdom lights up his face. Ve'oz panav yeshuna, and the hardness of his countenance is changed. Shlomo's point is that wisdom doesn't just provide understanding, it transforms the person who possesses it. Ta'ir panav, it illuminates his face, and the oz panav, yeshuna, the hardness of his countenance is changed. Think about this image. Wisdom literally softens what was once harsh. It changes not just what you know, but how you appear to others. There's something about understanding that makes a person more approachable, more gentle. The wise person, the chacham, becomes someone others want to be around. And this suggests wisdom has real power. It can transform not just the wise person, but potentially those around them. It can influence, persuade, even inspire. Then comes a jarring shift. Shlomo moves from celebrating wisdom's transformative power to talking about kings and political survival. In Psukim 2 through 4, he essentially says, keep the king's command. Pi melech shmor. Don't be hasty. What's going on here? First, we celebrated wisdom's power. Then all of a sudden, keep the king's command. As if wisdom is supposed to defer somehow to the king. What does he mean? Perhaps the answer reveals a crucial tension. Wisdom may have the power to illuminate and transform, but earthly power, royal power, has something wisdom lacks entirely. The ability to kol asher yachpotz yaseh, do whatever he desires. Think about this contrast. The wise person influences through transformation, through gradually changing hearts and minds, but the king influences through sheer force, through the simple ability to make things happen. The wise person persuades, the king commands. The wise person appeals to conscience. The king appeals to fear. So even the wisest person faces a fundamental dilemma when confronting raw power. How can you influence someone who recognizes no authority above themselves? How do you reason with someone who doesn't need to listen? But notice, Shlomo doesn't give up. He identifies the one tool available to wisdom when facing power. Shomer mitzvah lo yeda davara. One who keeps the commandment will know no evil thing. And here's the key. Ve'et u'mishpat yeda lev chacham. A wise heart knows time and judgment. Et u'mishpat. Even facing absolute power, the wise person has one crucial advantage. Timing. Ki l'chol chafetz yesh et. For every matter, there is a time, umishpat, and judgment, ki ra'at ha'adam rabba alav, though man's misfortune is great upon him. Do you hear the echo? We return to the language of Perek Gimel, v'chol chefetz yesh eit, in chapter 3, for everything there is a time. But now, it's not abstract philosophy, it's practical wisdom for survival and influence. The wise person can't overpower a king, but they can read the moment. They can sense when the king is receptive, when he's vulnerable, when he's ready to listen. They can wait for the right opening and speak the right word at the right time. Think of Yosef with Paro. Paro had absolute power. He could have ignored Yosef completely, or worse. But Yosef understood timing. He came to Paro at a moment of genuine need, with wisdom Paro desperately wanted. And that timing changed everything. But then comes this haunting phrase, Kira at ha'adam rabba I love, for man's misfortune is great upon him. Why? Because timing requires knowing the future. And that's exactly what we can't do. Psukim Zayin Chet 7 and 8 spell out the cosmic irony. The wise person can discern the right time for every matter, but he cannot know what's coming next. Einenu yodea ma sheyeh. Even perfect timing becomes a gamble when you can't see around the corner. And then Shlomo delivers the great equalizer. Kings may have power over people, but no one, not even kings, have power over the fundamental forces of existence. Ein adam shalit baruach. No person has power over the wind. No one controls the day of death. Ein shalton biyom hamavet. No one guarantees victory in war. Ein mishlach b'milchama. Even wickedness, which might seem to offer unlimited freedom, cannot save its practitioners from their ultimate fate. Ein mishlach b'milchama. Lo yimaleh resha et ba'alav. What a reversal. We begin with the king who can do whatever he desires, but even kings cannot control the wind, postpone death, or escape their own mortality. The very power that seems so absolute turns out to be remarkably limited. This puts everything in perspective. Yes, wisdom must be strategic around earthly power, but earthly power itself is temporary, bounded, and ultimately fragile. But all of this, the recognition of the limits of earthly power, does not solve the deeper problem that torments Shlomo. In Psukim Tet 3 at Aleph 9 through 11, he observes something deeply disturbing about how the world actually works. Kol zera'iti v'natonet libi l'chol ma'aseh asher na'aseh tachat ha'shemesh et asher shalat ha'adam ba'adam l'ralo. The wicked prosper. Not only do they escape immediate punishment, they often receive honor, even burial in sacred places. Their evil deeds are forgotten, sometimes even praised. Meanwhile, justice moved slowly. The sentence for evil deeds, Ein Na'asa Mehira. It's not carried out speedily. And this leads to the devastating consequence. Malei lev bnei ha'adam bahem la'asot ra. Because of that, because justice is meted out slowly, the hearts of people are fully set to do evil. When people see the wicked prosper without immediate consequence, they conclude that evil pays. Delayed justice doesn't just fail to deter evil, it actually encourages it. The hearts of people are fully set to do evil. This creates a moral crisis. If justice is real but delayed, if wickedness brings temporary rewards while righteousness brings temporary suffering, how should people live? What message does the world send about right and wrong? Maintaining his own faith, Shlomo comments in Pasuk Yudbet, Asher chote'o sera ma'at. Though a sinner does evil 100 times, ma'arich lo, and his days are prolonged, ki gam yode'ani, Asher yato liyoyah Elokim. Yet I do know, Shlomo says, that it will be well for those who fear Hashem, Asher yu'umer fanav, who fear before him. V'tov lo yeh l'rasha, won't be good for the rasha. In the end, v'lo yarich yamim, you will not have long days. Katzel asher einenu yarei milifnei ha'elokim. Notice the beautiful wordplay. The sinner in Pasuk Yudbet may ma'arich lo, have his days prolonged temporarily, but ultimately lo ya'arich yamim, he will not truly prolong his days. His life is katzel, like a shadow, insubstantial and fleeting. But here's the thing, maintaining his faith requires operating on God's timescale, not human timescale. And that creates an almost unbearable tension for people who live finite lives. In Pasuk Yudalid, Yesh hevel asher nasa al haaretz, asher yesh tzadikim asher magi alehem kemaseh harasha'im, v'yesh rasha'im asher magi alehem kemaseh atzadikim. There's hevel, there's futility in this world that occurs. There are righteous people who receive what the deeds of the wicked deserve, and there are wicked people who receive what the deeds of what the righteous people deserve. This is the heart of human frustration with divine justice. We believe in ultimate justice, but we experience its opposite. Good people suffer, evil people prosper. And Shlomo calls it exactly what it is, hevel. Amarti shegam ze hevel, he says. But notice he doesn't say justice is an illusion. He says the current state of affairs is hevel, temporary, ephemeral, not the final word. The situation we see now is not the ultimate reality. Still, for people living in the present, watching good people suffer while evil people thrive, this distinction offers cold comfort. And faced with this cosmic frustration, where does Shlomo turn? In Pasuk Tetvav, verse 15, V'shibachti ani etasimcha. So I praise joy. Asher ein tov la'adam tachat hashemesh. Nothing is better for man under the sun. Ki'im la'achol v'lishtot v'lismoach. But to eat, drink, be happy. V'hu yilvenu ba'amalo. And this will accompany him in his amal, in his toil, in his work, yemei chayav, during the days of his life, asher natan lo Elokim, that God has given him, tachat hashemesh, under the sun. We returned to the familiar refrain, but notice something crucial. This isn't escapism or hedonism. Shlomo says, v'hu yilvenu ba'amalo, this ability to be happy, drink, will accompany him in his toil, in his amal. Joy doesn't replace work or moral striving. It accompanies them. It doesn't solve the cosmic questions about justice and meaning. It sustains us while we grapple with them. I have to say, this is a mature response to an impossible situation. When you cannot resolve the contradiction between believing in ultimate justice and experiencing immediate injustice, you find ways to live meaningfully within the tension. You pursue wisdom while accepting its limits. You work for justice while acknowledging its delays. You find genuine pleasure in simple things without making them into false gods. And here's the ultimate humility. Kashir natati libi ladat chachma v'lir otata enyan asher nasa la'aretz. V'ra'iti, ekol ma'ase Elokim ki lo yuchal adam lemtzo ta ma'ase asher nasa tachat ha'shemesh b'shel asher ya'amol ha'adam levakesh v'lo yimtza. Even the wise person, Chacham, who claims Lada to know, can't find it. Lo yuchal imtso. He cannot find it. Shlomo spent sleepless nights trying to understand the workings of divine justice. He applied all his wisdom to piercing the secrets of existence. And his conclusion? Even the wisest person cannot fully comprehend how God runs the world. But this isn't a failure of wisdom. It's wisdom's greatest insight. The wise person's greatest wisdom lies in knowing what they cannot know, in recognizing that some questions are beyond human understanding, not because we lack intelligence, but because we are creatures bound by time, et l'chol chafetz, trying to grasp realities that transcend time. So, Parakha brings us to a place of mature acceptance. Wisdom has real power. It can transform faces, discern timing, even occasionally influence kings. But wisdom also faces absolute limits. It cannot control fundamental forces, cannot guarantee justice within human timescales, or fully comprehend divine ways. The solution isn't to abandon wisdom or despair of justice, it's to embrace both sides of the paradox. We pursue understanding, our chachmah, while accepting mystery. We work for justice while finding peace with delays. We enjoy simple pleasures while never mistaking them for ultimate answers. The flowers on your table are beautiful today. Enjoy them. They are hevel. They will fade. But that doesn't make today's beauty less real. That's the paradox Shlomo offers us. Finding genuine meaning in what we know to be temporary. Sustainable joy in what we know to be limited. Peace within questions we cannot answer. In Parakha, wisdom learns its most important lesson, humility before mystery, and contentment within boundaries. Today's study is dedicated by Helen and Moshe Sassover in memory of their beloved father and grandfather, Ted Ordon, Mordechai Ben Ephraim, and Miriam Golda, in commemoration of his 10th Yahrzeit. His family is forever grateful for his devotion to family, vision, courage, and optimism. May the merit of our collective learning elevate his neshama and bring unity and peace to Klal Yisrael. Thank you for the opportunity to study together.